teller of Hawaiian tales. Aloha, everyone. The teller of Hawaiian tales brings you an old legend about a familiar landmark in Honolulu. The extinct volcanic crater called Punch Bowl that lies just back of Honolulu. Shaped like an immense punch bowl, many weird and strange tales have been told about this rugged mountain. And in the story the teller of Hawaiian tales now tells, you'll hear about the aumakua, or spirits, the ghost that danced on Punch Bowl. Ready? Gather round for an eerie tale, an old and favorite legend.
Who doesn't shiver a bit when waning moonlight casts eerie shadows? I don't suppose you believe in ghosts. Well, who does? And yet, sometimes I wonder. Keoki and I had gone fishing one night many years ago. All as before, we had gotten our nets filled early, but on this particular evening, the fish wouldn't come near us. It was so late when we got back that Keoki suggested we walk over to his house, which was at the foot of Punch Bowl, and that I stay all night there. It had been a beautiful evening. Out on the coral reefs, the breezes cooled the soft air, and a full moon tipped the waves with sparkling silver. But as we approached town, I sensed a difference in the atmosphere. The evening was still beautiful, and the moon patterned lovely silhouettes through the palm trees. But everything was so still, almost a hushed, expectant silence. I turned to my companion. "Keoki," I said, "for goodness sake, say something." He wasn't talking. He was staring. I followed his gaze to the brow of Punch Bowl. "Keoki, what's the matter? It's only a wisp of smoke. Probably someone living up there has just built a little fire. That's nothing." "Maybe you're right, but I'm remembering what my father told me about smoke over Punch Bowl. And it wasn't smoke, it was ghosts. You know about aumakuas?" "Don't you?" I nodded my head. They're spirits of the dead people, your ancestors and mine, and they're more powerful than you or me or anybody. If somebody does something to hurt you or any of your family, the Aumakua will come and punish that person. They'll even kill. They'll live in the bodies of those they wish to harm, or they can live inside animals. Did you know that over in Hilo, the grandfather of a friend of mine was saved one day by a spirit living in a shark? His canoe upset, and this shark brought him safely back to shore. That spirit inside him was the Aumakua of his family and protected him from danger. I glanced again at the shadows on Punchbowl, but there was no trace of smoke now. I felt a little troubled and also a little annoyed because Keoki had succeeded in disturbing me, but I had to know the story about those wisps of smoke, and Keoki was willing to tell me. And this is a strange tale he told me on that night so long ago. Once upon a time, there lived a young ruling chief of Oahu named Kaki. He was strong and daring and active in all kinds of sports, and he could use a spear, a war club, and a slingshot better than anyone else. His rough and tumble court was filled with restless young men like himself who would fight at a glance. They gambled heavily, winning one night, losing the next. Yet they took all that came along as a matter of course. One day, Kaki gathered all his young chiefs together and told them to go to their homes and make preparations for a voyage and a battle. The young men were eager for a good fight, so off they went to get ready for it. It was impossible to keep the people from knowing what was going on, and excitement spread all over the island. The best of the old canoes were repaired and repolished, and new and stronger canoes were built. The bravest and sturdiest men were selected to fight. Even the women were set to work making tight, strong, mat sails for all the canoes. They gathered together all kinds of food and provisions, enough to last for a long, long journey. Night after night, the people talked of nothing but the coming battle. The men wagered heavily as to which of the chief's enemies they were going to fight and how much booty they would take. They speculated on new lands and the new wealth. Oh, it was going to be a wonderful battle. The days passed swiftly, weeks, months, and finally the chiefs declared they were ready. The day was set, and practically every person on the island came to see the gay and joyous departure. It was a splendid sight. The warriors, brilliant in their bright yellow and red war capes, proudly wore their hideous war masks. Waving goodbye to their friends, they leaped into the canoes and raised their sails. The great moment had come. The people on shore waved and shouted until the great fleet sailed out of sight. As soon as the canoes left, they headed north, the destination, Kauai. The night was clear and the wind strong. It was just at dawn, as the first rays of the sun were breaking over the horizon, that Keiki and his army of warriors landed and raised their war cry. The sleepy village of Waimea was stunned by the unexpected attack. The men, half awake and dazed, tried to stop the invaders, but it was impossible. The battle was short and decisive, and in a very little while, many people were killed. The thatched houses were afire, and soon the village was in ruins. Keiki's warriors seized all the plunder they could lay their hands on and pushed women and children into the canoes. After the captured boats and their own great fleet were filled, they set sail again. When the victorious band returned home, they spread the booty all over the beach for everyone to admire. Keiki ordered a great feast to be prepared on the slopes of Punchbowl to celebrate the wonderful victory. Everyone on Oahu was rejoicing and excitement was high, but the women and children from Kauai who had been taken captives were not happy. They wept quietly among themselves for their lost husbands, fathers, and homes. That night, all the people assembled and Keiki and his victorious warriors gathered around the poi bowl while hula girls danced happily before them. Suddenly, without warning, the earth shook beneath the crowd. The poi bowls rocked as if tossed on the waters of the sea. The feast was thrown in all directions and everything danced as if alive. The earth shook again and again, each time more violently. The great rocks on Punch Bowl were torn apart and came crashing down the hillside in heavy masses. The people fled, screaming in horror. Then came a mighty earthquake and a roaring blast as the whole side of Punch Bowl split wide open. Hot lava poured out and bubbled down the slopes. Masses of steam and foul gases belched through the wide cracks of the mountain. Then a wonderful thing happened. Above the flowing lava, among the settling clouds over the crater, the Amakua of Kauai moved in a solemn and stately dance. Back and forth, keeping rhythm with the bursting gases. This was the ceremonial, the sacred dance of the spirits, the family spirits of the captured people. When they finished, they would bring swift punishment to Keiki and his men. But while the ghosts continued their awful dance, the terrified king hastily collected the stolen plunder and threw it into the captured canoes. Then he brought back the prisoners and put them in two, in the boats, and set sail quickly for the island of Kauai. Then another miracle happened. As soon as the canoes passed out of sight, the earthquake stopped, the fires died away, and the flood of lava cooled. The Amakua had accepted the peace offering of the king. Keiki and I were close to his home by now. I looked up once more to the brow of Punch Bowl. It was there again, the wisps of smoke. I shuddered and ran into the house. Those weren't wisps of smoke. Those were ghosts dancing again.
Oh, my dear.